like to thank you for asking me to come and deliver a sermon. It's really very fine to be back at the Romeo Church. I go out regularly to the Leonard Church just so they have another body. It's kind of hard, you know, when you only have four people at church, but that's what we have. And if at any time you miss coming to the 9:30 or the 10 o'clock, you can always plan on coming to a 9:30 service at Leonard. We'd love to have you. And if Michelle happens to be preaching, you just might be served breakfast, because she oftentimes brings us luscious treats. But we do. We have marvelous speakers, and every Sunday is different, and it's a joy to be out there with them and helping them in their work. We have a few announcements today. Next Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m., don't forget about the mini golf outing. It's for everybody. So even if you don't play golf, you just want to come out and watch, be there. The men's group meets this Thursday. And, of course, we are all looking forward to the Peach Festival. And, of course, that means that the Romeo Church will have its food booth again. I can't remember when we didn't have a food booth, but like always, we need some help. So if you'll sign up for that job, sign up for the one job that really suits you and plan on being there, because the coffee is hot and all the treats are just special. Today, the youth group, the youth choir, has a concert downstairs in the fellowship hall immediately after today's service. You want to hear the young voices? Please come and attend. Now, let's bow our heads in prayer and thank God that we can come to His church. Good morning, our dear Lord. Today we have come to glorify Your name. First, by giving thanks for the many blessings that we have received this week. We want to also thank You for the many times that Your presence has helped us in the many challenging moments that we met this past week. Without Your help, we really would be quite lost. And now, dear Lord, today we want to learn. We want to learn how to follow Your ways just a little bit better. We want to learn how to do the will that You have, and that we learn to trust You, so that our life is fully centered only on You, our dear Lord. Amen. And now, our opening hymn is Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. It's on page 64. Blessed Trinity, holy, casting down their golden crown around the glen to see. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which earth and heart and evermore. We'd like to have our scripture. It is the Psalm 113, verses 1 through 3. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From this time on and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Now, I'd like to have all the children come up for children's time. Do we have anybody in children's time? Oh, great. Well, hi. I'm glad to see you today. Do you want to come, honey? Come on, honey. That's right. There we are. Well, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now look at your hand. And we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, today our sermon is on singing songs. And in singing songs, right here, for you, and for you, I want you to help me teach these people out here what they should be praying for and singing about when they sing to God. Here, 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 right there. Now, if you look at the hand this way, you notice that the first one says what? Does anyone recognize that first word? Family. So the first, when you say your prayers, the first person or people that you should be praying for are your family, your mom and your dad, your brothers and your sisters, your aunts and your uncles and your cousins. That's because the thumb is one of the most important part of our hand. Now the next one, take a look at your hand. And you see this finger right here? That's this finger right here. This is a very important finger. It's called the pointer. And when you look at this finger, what does it say? To be sorry for the things that maybe you did wrong. Maybe you hit your brother. Maybe you weren't really real good today. And then you want to ask for forgiveness. Now let's look at the strongest finger of our hand. It happens to be the middle one. And it's the tallest. And because it's the tallest, it should get the greatest emphasis. And that means that we want to remember to thank God for all of our blessings. So when you say your prayers at night, I know she's getting a bunch of them there. That's because she's going to put them in the Bibles at home. Okay. We're going to thank God for our blessings. Now this finger is the weakest finger. Oh, I need this one. I'd be lost if I didn't have this. I'll give it to you when I'm done. Okay. All right. This is the weakest finger, and you're to pray for those who are weak, who are sick, who maybe need some kind of help. So when you say your prayers at night and you're kneeling there right beside your bed, just remember to say a thought or two about people who need help, like the people in Maui whose houses just burned down. And then our last finger, that's the smallest finger. And that's the finger where you remember to say prayers that you want Jesus to do something special for you. Maybe you are looking forward to a new bike, or maybe you need to remember to take the garbage out. Whatever it is that you need help in, this is the little finger that you're supposed to remember. Now tuck this in your Bible, okay? When you go home. Here, now you can have the last one, okay? All right. Now let's join our hands and let's say a prayer. That's right. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these precious children. Help us as adults to always provide the best leadership for these young ones. And may they, dear God, through the lessons that they learn and the actions that they see, that they will grow into strong men and women, honoring you always. Amen. Okay.
I see that there has been an announcement left on the here, and I'd like to include it right now. It's for, wait a minute, it can't be. I don't know where this came from, but I think July 30th has since passed. So I don't know how that came about, but it appeared, so I thought it was today. I want you to realize that I did change the order because I'm used to at Leonard, we have our announcements, our welcome, and then we have our opening hymn. And
before we have our opening hymn, we always have our prayer. So I did flip that around. Okay, today I'd like to open the section called Prayers and Praises, those things that we have concern for. And I would like to first start out with a prayer. Our Lord, hear the words of those who need your help. Let each of them, in whatever their circumstances, feel your abiding presence. And in feeling and knowing that you are ever with them, that they can gain the trust they so need. At the same time, dear Lord, we want to always be thankful for your numerous blessings. We are ever so grateful for the love that you are always showing us. Where would we be, dear Lord, if we didn't experience your love? And in praises and thanksgiving, let us always remember to return to you. Now, are there any praises or concerns that the congregation has?
I have a lot of prayer concerns this week. I enjoyed Naomi's message about the hand, and I've been praising God and thanking him for my blessings, but I really need your help this week with the little one. Several of you have met my daughter-in-law's mother, Anna. She's been coming to church. She lost her husband about 6 weeks ago, and she's not handling it well. And Friday, she was found wandering down Mack Road, incoherent and hallucinating, and she's in Crittenden, and they're running Ascension. They're running tests and trying to figure out how to best help her. So I ask for prayers for her daughters, Lisa and Julie, who are spending a lot of time away from their own families to stay with their mom, and also for the doctors to help her in healing. And then the other concern I have is that my sister, some of you know her, she has a small route on his table, and she's had to give it up and give up some of her other community responsibilities, but she's having brain surgery. Starting on Tuesday, she's got a tumor, and they'll start with some procedures on Tuesday as far as drilling holes and cauterizing vessels, and then the main major surgery will be Thursday. So they're hoping they can't get it all, but they're hoping they can get as much as they can so that she can be restored to driving and walking and things like that. So I really need everyone's prayers this week. Thank you.
Connie.
Yeah, my sister Connie.
Yeah, her name's Connie, her sister.
Tigers won, and we got prayed for the Hawaii people.
I want to pray for my next door neighbor, Steve Prisby, who finally got home from rehab after over 6 weeks in the hospital and rehab. And he celebrated his 86th birthday yesterday.
Let's bow our heads, please. Dear Heavenly Father, you have heard several requests. Many of them are very touching. People are very concerned. And some, we know we're very happy with the progress that's being made. Dear Jesus, let us always remember that you are with us. You are always there for every concern. And where would we be, dear Lord, if we did not firmly believe that you hear every one of our prayers? This we are so grateful. And now let us please pray the prayer that that you taught your apostles. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, let's turn to the hymn called the Spirit Song in page 347. Would like to say a prayer for the giving that you have given the church. Dear Heavenly Father, we graciously receive these marvelous gifts. They will indeed help to carry out the commission that you have asked the Christian church to bring the gospel to others. May we always remember that these gifts are a continuation of the marvelous blessings you have given our church family members. And in turn, we want to return to you what you have given. May we always have the privilege of our Lord's request to spread the good news to others. This we pray through Jesus the Christ. Amen. No? We have our second scripture, Philippians 4. Let's see, where did I put it? Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul, your apostle, and the God of peace will always be with you. Amen. You know, they don't make pulpits big enough. You really have to juggle a lot of papers in a lot of different slots. And I don't care what church I preach from, I find the pulpits never big enough. Today, my sermon is on worship in songs. I have deliberately selected the songs that we have sung so far in our service because they all emphasize the theme of my sermon. Our service began with the song on page 64, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I just love that hymn. Every time I sing it, every time I hear Christians singing, a feeling comes into the room that says everybody is fully worshiping our God. Every word of that song is in the present tense, and it speaks to the present time, right now. Early in the morning, our song rises to thee, I think is one of the finest salutations that you can give God. And when we sing it on Sunday, it's like saying, Dear Lord, this Sabbath, this is the day I've left for you. You'll notice that later on in the song that we sang about the saints. They're now adoring God. And then further on, we read about all the works of God's creation is praising him, meaning the mountains, the birds, all the animals are in right now, in some form, praising God. All of this is happening now. Nothing in the universe is left out. And what is so neat? The first verse ends with holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. That is a magnificent statement of faith. And the song ends with the same words. This hymn, like others, worships God in many ways. Each hymn that we're going to look at today has lyrics that are carefully chosen and placed with the perfect melody so that the song truly praises God. The lyrics and the melody blend together. And what happens to you and I? Our mind, our heart, our soul, focus entirely on God. While we're singing these hymns,
we become aware of our relationship to God. And in the end, when we are at the end of the song, we know that we have just had a marvelous experience of joy. It's the same joy that Jesus expressed in John chapter 15, verse 11, when he said, I want you to experience my joy, and I want it made full in each of you. And that happens when we sing hymns. Our joy is full, and we feel very close to God. You know, one begins to wonder, where did hymns really begin? Well, for the Christian, they began with the Psalms back in the Old Testament, because David, the shepherd boy, probably because he was really quite bored and there wasn't much to do, he found time on his hands, but he had a 10-string harp, and he began to worship God. And looking about, he found all the reasons to worship God. And when you look at the Psalms, you can really place them in about three different categories. One of them being that David makes requests to his fellow Israelites to follow the commandments of God, to keep them forward in their minds at all times. There are times where David's Psalms are much like old ballads in literature, where he tells the history of the Israelites, like the time that they were fleeing from Egypt with the Pharaoh right on their heels when they reached the Red Sea, and God delivers them, and they then wander 40 years. David actually handles things like that in several of the Psalms. But most of the Psalms are spent in worshiping God. You know what's really sad? No one was there to record the music. We have no idea how David sang these songs, but we have the words. Let's listen to some of them. Give ear to my words, O Lord. O Lord, my God, in you I put my trust. I will praise you, Lord, with my whole heart. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. Rejoice in the Lord. I will extol you, my God, and I will bless your name forever and ever. David expresses full love, adoration, and praise in each of these simple, what I call, line prayers. It would be a neat idea to go through the Psalms, copy down these lines that you find favorable to yourself, memorize them, because they are simple. One-line prayers. And sometimes when you're driving along, you'll think of them and you'll keep your mind on God. Many of David's words in the Psalms actually form the basis of many of our present hymns. How does that happen? Because maybe somebody who writes lyrics is reading the Psalm and one word stands out. Maybe a whole sentence kind of jumps off the page. And sometimes a person who's a composer will develop a melody just by reading the Psalm. And right away, with a little work, a new hymn is made. People who wrote lyrics and composed the music began to appear
in the American churches in the mid-1800s. Music had always been a special part of church celebration. But in the mid-1800s, that's when people, the congregants, became a part. In 1841 and 42 in Philadelphia, in an African-American church, they decided to form a choir, like other churches were forming. But they made one more stipulation. The congregation had to sing with the choir. Well, this created a lot of sparks, and a lot of people left. But those that stayed firm developed their congregation to be able to sing with a choir in unison so that everyone in the church was staying on the same word and on the same tone. Another thing that they noticed right away was that the service was enlivened because the congregation was an active part of the service. And who benefited the best was the minister, because he could ask the choir to practice the song ahead of time, and then that Sunday the congregation sang the particular songs that the ministers suggested, and it reinforced his sermon. You know, it's not surprising that singing hymns with the choir began in an African-American church. When the African-Americans arrived in the United States, they brought a whole body of music with them. Then, when they were placed on the plantations, they sang in the evening. But historians are very well aware of the fact that many of the songs and the singing that was going on when they were working were simply their means of communicating with other people in the field. But there's something unique about the African American songs. They have few words. That's because a lot of African Americans weren't schooled. So some of the words were repeated many times. And often when they were repeated, each time they were repeated with stronger emphasis. Not only that, they always had a plain and simple melody that was easy to carry the thought of the song. One of the songs that I'm going to discuss today appears on page 333 in your hymnal. And it's, "I'm Gonna Sing When the Spirit Says Sing." You know, when you look at that song, you only need to know 8 words. And when you look at the music, your voice is only going to use 5 tones. And you can see that our music teacher has her hymnal open and she's already looking at what I'm talking about. This song emphasizes exactly what the African American believed. He knew that when he heard and accepted and came to believe the facts about Jesus, he was in the first step of becoming a Christian. The next step was for him to repent of his sins. The third step that he followed was that he wanted and told people that he wanted to live the life like Christ wanted him to live. He was going to give up the things that he had done that were wrong. At that instant, when he did those 3 things, he knew he was a Christian. And immediately upon becoming a Christian, he was convinced, just like you and I are, that the Holy Spirit came to live within our soul. In the hymn, the first verse is, I'm going to sing when the Spirit says sing. This is to get you in the presence of God, to say hello to God, to get His attention. The next verse says, I'm going to pray when the Spirit says pray. I don't mean pray just one, but it means that you're in the habit of praying to God, that every day your life is spent sometime in prayer. And what does this do? This develops your relationship with God. And praying became a very important part of the African American's life. The third verse, very different. I'm going to moan when the Spirit says moan. To me, the word moan means grieving, lamenting. I think what the African American is experiencing here is knowing that he has become a Christian. He's very saddened that in order for him to become a Christian, Jesus had to suffer and die on the cross. And so he moans the fact that Jesus had to go through that. I also think there are two other things meaning with moan. One, I think when you say you moan, you're feeling sorry that somehow or other you just can't shed. It's very difficult to get rid of those little wrongdoings that you catch yourself doing. And you immediately say, oh, there I go again, God. I'm so sorry. I'll try once more. We all experience that. And then I think also that the word moan means that there's just a tremendous amount of love pouring from your soul to Jesus for what he has done to allow us to become Christians. Now the fourth verse, that's completely different because we're going to shout when the Spirit said shout. Even the word shout with the O-U sound makes it very strong, very jubilant. And you get the feeling of being extremely happy because now, because you're a Christian, you are in full relationship with God through your prayers. You've got His attention. You are experiencing the joy of the Lord. And you know that the promises God made is going to lead you to an eternal life. You get that feeling in that song. And then at the very end, and obey what the Holy Spirit says, tells you that you have the full power of the Holy Spirit within your soul. This makes me think of many of the Psalms that David wrote. Many of them end with the word, rejoice in the Lord, praise God. When we sing this song, we know without a doubt that the Holy Spirit lives within us and that we feel His presence. We feel His presence every time we're making a decision in which direction we're going to go. So that's why it's very important to look at the last line and obey the Spirit of the Lord. Don't you dare go the opposite way of what the Spirit says, is what that's really telling you. In 1887, historians are quite convinced that Reverend Dwight Moody was teaching a sermon on that very thought, that it's very important to obey the commandments of God.
and to develop the trust that follows the commandment. Moody was a very popular minister throughout the United States because he organized revivals. And this time he happens to be in Brockton, Massachusetts. And he's just finished the last word of a sermon on obeying God and developing trust. When a young man, no one knows his name, got up in front of thousands of people that were present and said, "I am going to trust and I am going to obey." Reverend Moody's musical director, Daniel Towner, was present and wrote down three words, trust and obey. And he sent that little piece of paper in an envelope through the mail to his friend John Stamos, a man known to write many hymns. What's really unique about this hymn is what happens next. Because when John opens up the envelope and he just reads those three words, trust and obey, he immediately wrote underneath, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Now you stop and think about that. There's something unique about there. Makes you think that maybe some higher power was at work. Because in 1887, when that song was published, Trust and Obey, became an immediate success. Let's look at some of those lines. The first line says, when we walk with the Lord, God sheds glory. God sheds us with enormous blessing. He showers us because our life is following his commandments. Another part of the song we read, when we do his good will, when we do the goodness that Jesus did, when we're always thinking about being just a little bit better than what we were the day before, Jesus remains with us still. He never leaves us. His presence is always right there at our elbow. The ideas expressed in the first stanza are repeated in the other stanza in different words. The key thought is that God showers us with his love when we trust and obey without any reservation. Now, this hymn has a refrain. And what's unique is that the refrain are the words that John Stamos wrote immediately. And they are said twice. The first time, they're said at a lower tone. And on the last one, every word except the last three mount up in higher tones so that you have a natural crescendo occurring. Now, I want you to remember about the uniqueness of how this song began. Because in 1883 or 73, another song was developed that has the same kind of uniqueness to it. This song, even today, if a survey were made of what are the most favorite hymns that Christians love to sing, and this one has appeared on the top 10 since 1873. It's never lost its chart status. And what's unique is that the person who wrote the words was blind from the age of 6 weeks. And
the person who wrote the lyrics has written so many hymns that Fanny Crosby, the person who wrote the lyrics, is known as the religious writer of songs for the 19th century. Now this song, Blessed Assurance, which appears on page 369, began also with a uniqueness. Phoebe Knapp was a composer. Somehow or other, she came across just a short little musical stretch. And it bothered her because it kept haunting her. So she wrote it down on paper, wrote the notes on paper, and thought that would she'd use it sometime. But she couldn't dismiss that music. She finally went to Fanny Crosby, told Fanny what was happening, and Fanny said, well, sit down at the piano and play it. And when Phoebe played the last note, Fanny said, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Immediately, the two of them worked together and developed the song. This song, Blessed Assurance, is the embodiment of our faith and the hope that we have in reaching eternal life. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine, tells me without a doubt you and I are going to heaven. Another part of the song tells us that we're heirs of everything that Jesus did. Well, the most important thing that Jesus did is that he suffered and died on the cross so that you and I can have salvation. And then the last two verses began with perfect submission. Oh, we're humbled. Yes, indeed, we are humbled that somebody would go to that extent to give us our salvation. And at that point, the song then talks about our joy and how we will envision heaven. That you and I are at rest. We're not stressed out because we're Christians, because we know we're going to have eternal life with God. And we're at our deathbed. We're not worried. We're looking forward to meeting God. That's all embodied in this song. So that in the end, we experience the joy of being a Christian. Now, to emphasize the thoughts of this hymn, there is a refrain, and it's very strong. This is my story. This is my song. It's just like saying, I won't believe anything else. You're praising Jesus all the day long because you have this hope. You have this faith. Repeated a second time in the refrain, these words again create a crescendo, except for the last few lines, all the day long. This way, when you and I sing this song, we sing the verses, and we finish with the final part of the refrain, we know, without a doubt, that we are fully engaged in praising and thanking God for being a Christian, that God gave us the grace to become a Christian. Now I want to look at a more popular hymn written by a husband and wife team, Gloria and Bill Gaither. They're about my age. And they still have a television program every Saturday on Trinity Broadcast. They're the Christian songwriters of the 20th century because of the number of songs that they have created for hymns as well as contemporary music. And just like all the other previous hymns that we've talked about, they lead us to love God. But this one is more special. This song that we're going to look at next is a song that expresses our love to Jesus. It begins on page 171 in your hymnal, and the title is There's Something About That Name. And that hymn was written in 1970. Now, it has some of the same characteristics of the African-American music because the music notes are in a short range and there are very few words. And most of them are very simple and poignant. But unlike the African-American spiritual, the movement of this song, the movement of the melody, is very soft and tender and slow. I think it's a lullaby because when I hum the first part of Brahms' lullaby, just the first part, and I stop, and then I sing the very first line of this song, it's identical in feeling. So I feel that this song is a lullaby. It's like the song that any parent would sing to their baby. Let's look at the song. Begins with Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The first two Jesus are said with ordinary sound, but the last one is drawn out, becomes very slow. Then Gloria does something really clever. She changes the title of the song. She said, there's just something special about that name. There's just something about that name. She's not sure what it is, but there's something. And that word just, by putting that in there, she increases the feeling towards Jesus. You get the sense that there is a tremendous specialness. We sense in ourselves when we sing it a very special love that we're going to express to Jesus. Like if we could take all the love in the world, if all the love that we could ever express to another person, we want to take that love and we want to give it to Jesus. And then when you look at that love that you want to give to Jesus, you realize that in essence, you're copying all the love that Jesus extended to us during his lifetime. All his love, all his caring, all his compassion, all his mercy, everything about Jesus, we want to give back to Jesus. Then Gloria uses the word master. That conjures up maybe some elements of control, but she comes real quick with Savior. And right after that, she compares it to the fragrance of the air after a rain. You know, just this week, I want you to think about something. We've had some summer thunderstorms. And during the day before the thunderstorm occurs, we have people driving on roads that are dirt, gravel, turnpikes, dirt rises up in the air. We have construction crews all over. Dirt rises up into the air. Somebody's cutting their grass. Somebody else is doing something else in manufacturing. And our air is filled with dirt. And then we have a thunderstorm. And when you and I go out after a thunderstorm and we take in a deep breath, we recognize how clean and fresh and pure the air is. That's what happens in this hymn. At this point, it shows that because he is our Savior, out of his love for us, he has made my life and your life clean. We are now worthy to go to heaven, all because of his suffering and death on the cross. Then the song ends with a very strong statement. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something special about that name. And to me, that says, Jesus is forever. Again, what a marvelous statement of faith. This song is so full of tenderness and gratitude. It is indeed a very special love song to Jesus. You know, hymns are designed to present biblical truths to us. And when we sing them, we're reinforcing the major facts of our Christian faith. When we sing hymns, we have a greater understanding of our faith because it's strengthened, because it emphasizes all the truths that we believe. That's why it's so important that in our manner of worship, that we sing with gusto, because we experience the joy and we have this strong feeling of devotion to God. We feel very close to him. Remember, the next time you sing a hymn, you're lifting your mind, your heart, and your soul to God, to worship him with your strongest feelings from deep within inside you. Then, and only then, will you have the fullness that Jesus wants you to have. Amen. I'd like to have us turn to page 672, the hymn, God Be With You.
Securely home.
Dear friends in Christ, this week, may you find yourself singing God's praises all from the bottom of your heart. Amen.